Hearts. Okay, today we're starting a new series called Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible. There are some things that are impossible. We'll look at our theme verse for this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, as Christians in here this morning, all of us should have an innate desire, once we've accepted Christ, to want to please Him. And so God is going on record on the qualifications, on the methodology it takes in order to please Him. And He says the prerequisite for pleasing Him is faith. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, how much faith do you have? What does faith look like? And I broke it down into three categories. Number one, faith is trusting God no matter what. Faith is trusting God no matter what. No matter if He says go into the valley with the giant, or head off into the fiery furnace, or go and sleep in the lion's den. Faith is trusting God no matter what. The next thing that faith does not allow details to be forgot. Faith does not allow details to be forgot. If you doubt that God is a detail God, then just go read Genesis through Numbers, and you will find that God gave prescriptions for how to build everything to the exact cubit, or we would say foot, when it comes to the temple, when it comes to the ark. When everything that God did has details. He has an order in His creation. He has a process. Numbers throughout the Bible actually matter, and God demonstrating a pattern to His behavior. End times is all wrapped up in details around numbers and ages and years. And so faith does not allow the details to be forgot. And then thirdly, faith is giving it all that you got. Now, I hope that you appreciate the fact that I rhymed all three of these, all right? Faith is giving it all that you got. If you believe that He's God, and you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again to save you from eternal damnation, that God is willing to give you His very best gift, then it would demand of you reciprocation. It would demand of you to say, I'm now going to give God all that I have, because my faith believes that He is worth everything because He gave me His only begotten Son. And so this morning, I hope that you would use this as a filter. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be determining how we get from point A to point B. And all of us have a point A to point B. All of us have chasms that we have to cross. We have storms that we have to endure. And if we don't have faith, then we're gonna realize that it's impossible for us to cross the chasm. We're leaping into the unknown without a parachute. And God never intended for you not to know His plan. And so this morning, I want us to look at two examples, and just two, of examples of what faith does in Hebrews chapter 11. So Hebrews 11, 6 is our template. It's our filter through which we're looking at this whole passage. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe He is, that He exists, and He rewards those that seek after Him. So this morning, I want you to think about this as an appetizer. In 1859, there was a guy named Charles Blondin, and he was a famous French tightroper. And back in 1859, he stretched a cord 160 foot above the gorge at Niagara Falls, spanning from the American side to the Canadian side. And he walked this tightrope, and of course, this is universal throughout history. Whenever you're willing to do something entirely dumb, a big crowd gathers up. Have you guys ever noticed that? Like, did you have that friend when you were growing up in high school? He was like, watch this, and everybody gathered around. And you weren't gathering around to see if he pulled it off, were you? No, you weren't. You were gathered to hope that he didn't, and you wanted to see what was going to happen, right? And so here was Charles Blondin walking across this tightrope, and he kept one-upping himself. He'd walk across backwards. He put a blindfold on and walk across blindfold. He even at one point carried out a small stove, carried it out into the middle and cooked an omelet, folks, on top of the tightrope while he's sitting out there. Eventually, he climaxed with building this, or taking this wheelbarrow and putting a sack of potatoes, and he wheels it across, and the Canadians are like, yeah! And he wheels it back across, and the Americans are like, yeah! He goes, do you believe that if I even like put one of you inside this wheelbarrow, that I could take it back and forth across this incredible gorge? And they all were like, we believe, we believe, we believe. And he said, all right, who wants to get into the wheelbarrow? Guess what? Nobody. Because who would do that, right? Who would get into the wheelbarrow? Now, here's an interesting fact. He had demonstrated he was trustworthy. He demonstrated beyond all reasonable doubt, beyond any reasonable proof, he could do it. And yet, saying that you believe and then acting as though you believe were two separate things. Man, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't know how many Christians are like, I believe, I believe, I believe. And God says, now get in the wheelbarrow. Get in the wheelbarrow. And we are so fearful when God says, trust him. Even though every time he's promised, he's delivered. We have no reason to doubt. His record is spotless. It's perfect. God is infinity and O when it comes to winning at everything that he's ever done. So as we move into this series, I want you to ask yourself, do you have the faith that is willing to act, not just mentally or verbally saying you believe, but to live it out in your actions? As you begin to filter your faith through these three clauses, trusting God no matter what, faith that does not allow the details to be forgot, and a faith that is willing to give him all that you got. If you examine every area of your life, do you see these three principles at work in your life? Have you even like studied what the details are of your faith, of how God wants to be approached? See, our first story, we're going to look at Cain and Abel. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's kind of a chronology of incredible acts of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 4, it says this, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice, a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. So there was one way that was acceptable, and there was another way that wasn't. So it says that Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God put his stamp of approval, gold star, on Abel's sacrifice. And so he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So I want us to look at this Cain versus Abel. Cain versus Abel. And I want us to think that faith does not allow the details to be forgot. Why was it that Cain's sacrifice was unacceptable while Abel's was satisfying to God? I think that what we're going to find in this dichotomy is a very important principle for you and I to live by concerning our faith. That there is a right way and there is a wrong way. That there is a way that is acceptable and there is a way that is unacceptable. And then who defines it is the pivot point of the dichotomy. Who defines it is the pivot point of the dichotomy. And whether or not you believe and whether or not you have faith will determine the thing that you bring. All of us have something that we're supposed to bring to God. We have things that he has prescribed that allow us to be under the umbrella of his blessing, that allow us to have revelation of his will. And God had ordered what type of sacrifice to bring. And Abel brought that sacrifice. He brought a lamb. Now, isn't it interesting that the first recorded sacrifice in all of the Bible was a lamb that was brought as an offering for sin, representing the Lamb of God that would one day be brought as an offering of sin, representing the Passover lamb that would free the Israelites from Egypt, representing the Day of Atonement that the Israelites followed all throughout the Old Testament, that one day out of the year, an innocent lamb would be brought and sacrificed for the sins of the people. You see, there is God, and he's the God of details, and he's consistent from Genesis to Revelation in what he wants. So then Cain brings not the sacrifice that is acceptable to God, but he brings the fruit of his hand. He brings man's best. And here's what I fear has become the definition of many people's faith, all right? This is the way many people define their faith, the way that Cain did it. He said, if my sacrifice is acceptable to me, if my sacrifice makes me happy, then shouldn't God be happy with what makes me happy? Shouldn't God accept what I consider acceptable? And if we're not careful, we look at all of our values and we look at issues through the lens of what I think is right. And the problem arises whenever what you think is different than what God thinks. And so Cain brings the best that man has to offer and says, God, can I be acceptable in your sight by representing myself? Can I save myself through my sacrifice of my hands? God, can't I just worship you the way that I want to worship you? Can't I just serve the way that I want to serve? Can't I just give the way that I want to give? And you could just parlay that out into any kind of social issues that might involve sin. Can't I just define marriage the way that I want to define marriage? Can't I just define gender the way that I want to define gender? Can't I just treat my spouse the way that I want to treat my spouse? Can't I just raise my kids the way that I just want to raise my kids? You see, at some point we have to realize that there's one way that is acceptable, and there's one way that's not. Imagine Jerry Jones is getting ready to. Did you guys know that there was like a little practice facility where all the games are going to be played? Did anybody hear about that? That little place down here off the toll road? Anybody see that? It's getting ready to open, I think, this week. And it's a pretty amazing facility. Imagine just for a moment, just spitballing here. Imagine Jerry Jones was throwing a party and you were invited, right? And man, you'd be excited. And all the Cowboys were going to be there. I mean, Tony Romo was going to be there and Jason Witten, maybe some of the legends, maybe Troy was going to stop by. And so you know, you were invited. And so you would think to yourself, you know, like, what am I going to wear? What am I going to wear, right? And so say in your infinite wisdom, you just decided you'll put on a 49er jersey, right? Or Philadelphia Eagles or the Giants, any of the division rivalries, the Redskins, whatever, you know, just you threw on, you know, Philadelphia, maybe an old school Donovan McNabb jersey, and you just strolled up in. You strolled up into Cowboys headquarters in this little mixer, and imagine the palpable record skipping sound that as the elevator opens and you walk into this like penthouse environment with all Cowboy paraphernalia and Cowboy everything, and you are this one lone jack wagon wearing a Philadelphia Eagles jersey. Now, instantly, you would realize that you're approaching this whole environment the wrong way, right? And I don't know if you've ever made this mistake, but I have. I mean, if you are ever giving a gift, have you ever tried to win somebody's favor, but you wanted to win it through how you see things, through how the things that you like, through the things that you want? And so you give a gift, like you're going to buy your wife a new car, let's say, that you had the ability to do that. And you really like a four-wheel drive Jeep, you know? And she really likes a nice Accord. I don't know. And you show up in the driveway, and in your mind, you're thinking, well, I'll get to drive that too. And so you buy her the four-wheel drive Jeep. And it's not what she wants, but it's what you want. But you think, I'm buying her something nice. But you're really buying it for yourself. You see, it takes a little bit of examination, a little bit of introspection, to be able to approach someone the correct way. You have to ask yourself, like, what is it that they like? What is it that is their personality type? Where are they from? You know, all of these things are taken to an equation to be able to figure out how do I connect best with that person. And we naturally know this in the relationships that are closest to us, right? If you really love your wife, guys, if you really love her, then what are you gonna do? You're gonna figure out the things that she likes. If she likes chocolates, you buy chocolates. If she likes to go out to Italian, you go out to Italian. And you demonstrate your affection by understanding the details matter, right? If you don't think the details matter, just skip your anniversary and celebrate it on the wrong month. Just show up with a birthday gift in the wrong month and just see, like, hey, that will never work. That is a sure way to be in the doghouse. And so details matter. Here was Cain approaching God saying, God, won't you just accept what I want? And the problem is the Bible says that there's no way outside of the one way. Can you understand the gravity? The gravity of people believing that they can approach God in salvation their own way? Can you imagine people that have a faith that's going to fall short of pleasing God? God is saying, I'm trying to reveal my plan to you so that I can save you. And there's one way that pleases me, and that salvation comes through the Lamb of God. And salvation is not in another. Jesus said of his own self, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So I want you to be aware. I want you to be abreast of what pleases God, that there's one way to heaven. There's not many ways. There's not many religions. There's one way, and that is a man who was the Son of God, who came from heaven above to earth below, that lived a perfect life, that died a perfect death, and that rose again, proving and demonstrating he is the only God that has power over death, so that you can trust him with not just this life, but the one to come, that he will conquer death for all of eternity. And his name is Jesus Christ. There is one way. There is one way that is acceptable to God. So, second illustration I want us to give in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at Noah for just a moment. Faith is willing to trust God no matter what. Now, when God asks you to build a boat in the middle of the desert, right? When God asks you to build a boat in the middle of the desert, there's not like a port. It's not like you're going to roll it off into the ocean. You're building it in the middle of the desert. Do you have the faith to trust God when it appears to be crazy, when it appears to make no logical sense? Here it says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God. So he believed that God knew the end from the beginning. You see, faith will allow you to believe that God is right about what the result is going to be. You see, whenever you are trusting in your own intellect and you're leaning on your own understanding, you believe that you know what the result is going to be. But God is infinitely smarter, and he's been around a lot longer. Therefore, he has insight that you don't have, and he's trying to warn you, and he's trying to prepare you for what he knows is about to happen. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. As yet unseen. In other words, it was unprecedented. It was unheard of. God is telling him something for which there is no template in his mind to be able to draw from. There's no historical record that this has happened before. So God is saying that something unprecedented, something unseen is going to happen. And whenever you trust God, no matter what, the unseen becomes certain through the eyes of faith. The unseen, the unheard of, the unprecedented becomes certain when viewed through eyes of faith. And so he was willing to go, and he was building this ark, and he moved in reverent fear, saving his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Man, I want us to dive into this story of Noah as we wrap up this morning's message. And I want you to ask yourself, man, do you believe what God says about certain things? Because he will reveal a plan that is going to provide a way for your family to escape. Here is what Noah believed. Noah believed that deliverance tomorrow is decided by what I build today. Deliverance tomorrow is decided by what I build today. I don't know if you've ever studied this, but it took him 50 to 85 years. It doesn't give us the exact chronology, but we know that from when he gave the plan and he had children, they grew up and they were able to have wives and children, that there was about 50 to 85 years left of construction time before God flooded the earth. Now, I want you to imagine you being Noah, and you're out there with your gopher wood, right? And you're tinkering around for 50 years, and people are going to drop by when you're building something incredible out in the middle of the desert, and they're going to say, you're like, what's going on here? What are we doing? What are we doing with this gopher wood out here? He's like, oh yeah, well, God's told me he's going to send a flood on the whole earth, and I got to build this ark, and then we're going to put some animals in it, and basically God's going to save the entire planet through this ark right here. And you know that for 50 years the seasons changed, there was sunshine, there was crops that came up, everything was as normal could be, and for 50 years people watched this crazy guy out here building an ark in the middle of the desert. He's building a boat with no water, folks. You understand what I'm saying here? Do you trust God no matter what? But then the flood came. The flood came. And every other family on the earth was unprepared. And because they were unprepared, they perished. Can you imagine how many fathers, how many mothers regretted all the times that they looked out there at that guy building that boat in the middle of the desert and they mocked him? And now their family was perishing because they believed they knew better than God knew. You see, God is constantly trying to give you a plan. And if you believed that the flood was coming, wouldn't you be building today? If you believed that the flood was coming tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, wouldn't you be preparing today if there was going to be this catastrophic event that was going to destroy everyone that wasn't in the boat? Wouldn't you prepare? Of course you would. Of course you would. So the question is the flood coming? I'm telling you right now, the flood is coming. Can I get an amen? The flood is coming. The flood is coming. The flood is coming. My question to you is, what are you building? What are you building today? Moms, dads, what are you building today? Because what you build today is going to decide whether or not you are delivered tomorrow, because the flood is certain. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew chapter 7. He said there was a wise builder who built his house on the rock, and then there was a foolish builder who built his house in the sand. The flood came, the storm rose, and the one who built on the rock, his house stood. But the one who built on the sand, it fell flat, and great was the loss thereof. So this story is consistent throughout the scriptures that there's a way to build, and we must prepare today for the flood that is coming tomorrow. What if we juxtaposed the metaphor and we said that the flood represents death? And what if we said that the boat represents the gospel? What if we said that death was certain? And the gospel was the only mechanism through which God has provided, through which we can know, we can trust beyond a shadow of a doubt that we will be delivered. Wouldn't you accept that salvation today, knowing that the flood is coming tomorrow? Parents, it says, train up a child in the way that it should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Wouldn't you want to build a family today based on faith, so that when the storms and when the flood come, whenever they are outside of your house, they choose the way of God and not the way that they want, They don't bring the offering of Cain, which is the way that they want to do it. They bring the offering of Abel, which is the way that God wants to do it. Are you setting them up for success by demonstrating that there is a prioritization? Whenever God reveals his will, and whenever you look through eyes of faith, if you believe that the flood was coming, you would prioritize what you do and the manner in which you do it and the passion with which you do it. Faith would say that you need to trust God no matter what. Faith would say that you can't allow the details to be forgot. Faith would say that I'm giving him all that I got because I trust God more than I trust myself. Man, this morning, right where you sit, would you say that you've prepared your marriage for the storm that's going to come? That you've assessed not the way that you would want to love your wife, but the way that God says you should love your wife. Not the way that you would want to love your husband, but the way that God says you should love your husband. And through that love that you have for each other, preferring the other's needs ahead of your own, you've constructed an ark from which when the storm rises, your family will jump aboard and safely get through that season of life and make it to the other side. Wouldn't it be awesome if all of us had God guarantees in our relationships because we trusted to do it his way instead of doing it our way? Man, would you let me pray for you? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask that you take these two concepts, that God, we would seek to live our life and bring the things that you want us to bring. And that God, when it comes to what we're building today, that we would have this sobriety, this clarity of thought, that what we are building today is going to deliver us tomorrow. That when we follow you by faith, we can be delivered in the day of death from our sins. That when we follow you by faith, we can get to the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. That though we may lose things and though we may experience hurt and betrayal, that God, we have a rock, an anchor to which we have tethered our lives, that we can trust with absolute certainty that we will get to the other side. Lord, I pray that every family in here experience that truth, that we accept that without faith, it is impossible to please you. So God, we come before you this morning with faith, believing in who you are. And God, believe that you have everything we need in the palm of your hand. And that when we come the right way and we bring the right thing, our love, our affection, our time, our treasure, when we lay it all at your altar, God, that you take that. You take that stuff that we bring and you change the world. God, I pray that every family would walk by faith this morning. Would you guys stand as we reflect?